All right. Hello, everyone. I'm trying to get this little window to go away. It's not going to. Oh, there we go. All right. Can't stand it when my windows are out of sorts. Let's get all my windows set up. Good afternoon, everyone. Everybody in the chat. I've got the Q&A box open. Y'all been really doing a good job of coming prepared with some great questions the last few weeks. And what we want to do today is we also want to coach. So if you are needing coaching, now is the time to raise thy hand so that I can help you with all the things that you need help with. This month inside NoBS, we've been very focused on making sure that you understand like how to finish what you start. And I'm just going to tell all of you, for me, the key to finishing, there's a lot of things that I do to finish what I like to finish the things that I start. Number one, that works really well for my personality is public accountability. If I tell people I'm going to do something, even if I just tell Jane, like I will get it done. If it's just for me, I'm like 50-50. Like it's very motivating to me to have somebody else just know. I don't expect them to follow up with me. I don't expect them to do shit. But if I publicly declare I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Just like your brand new Healthify course is going to be dropping in June. There's only 36 videos to record, and I promised that I was going to have them done by tomorrow. And I just recorded, I think, 29 of them this morning. I've been recording like a son of a bitch all morning long. So if I get a little hoarse today, that will be why. I only have to record the last seven after this call, and then I am done talking for the day. I'm going to tell Chris, like, if you hear me talking, slap my face. Like, you just need to get out of here. So sometimes I have, like, if I just tell Jane, here's what I'm going to get done for the day, like 9 times out of 10, I get it all done. And if I don't get it done, it ain't because I dicked around. It was literally because I thought I could do more than I actually could. And that's fine. I don't mind if I can't get things done because things just took longer than I thought they would. Like, I don't beat myself up over shit like that. Another thing that really works for me is really understanding why I want something. It is really hard to do things if you don't have a good reason why you want to do it. So, like, think about going to work. If you hate your job, you go every day, even though you don't want to. You go every day knowing it's going to be full of ass because your why is deep. I want money. I like food, clothing, and shelter. I don't want to be homeless. A lot of times I think that y'all are looking for emotional whys or lovely whys. You're looking for like all these things. It ain't that deep. You just need to think about why is this important to me? So if like for me, when I was losing weight, I had to really figure out the reasons why. And I had a shit ton of them. So in the past, we've called them compelling reasons. We've called them a million things. One of the things that's always been important to me is if I don't know why I'm doing something, and I mean, if I don't know why the negative reasons, like I want to get away from these things and I want to be able to do these things, it's very hard for me to stay focused on it because your life is going to present lots of things that you're going to want to do, whether you want to do it for a good reason or a bad reason. Just like if you're losing weight, and let's say your friends invite you out to eat and you don't even really want to go, but deep down, you don't like telling people no, you have a very deep reason why. You're going to blow your diet. If one of your reasons for losing weight is just, you know, that I don't know, like to look better, but you haven't sat and tied your why to one of the reasons why I want to lose weight is because I want to get really good at putting my needs first. I want to get really good at understanding what I want and what I don't in this world. Because I really feel like losing weight is one of those things that will help you. So, like, just understanding your whys at a deep level and having lots of them. Now, a lot of you misuse whys because you think whys are just like the big list you make and you never look at it again. The way that I've always done whys is not only like if I want to lose weight, I need my whys around that. But then I've got to think about all the things I'm going to be doing to lose weight, and I've got to have reasons why I'm going to do those things. So your actions need whys too. So don't just stop with the big overview whys. If you think about stopping at enough, you need a lot of reasons why you're going to start stopping at enough. Like you need to be able to tell yourself the reasons why that's so important. Like for me, stopping at enough, like learning how to do it and doing it well, my biggest reason why was because I was sick and tired. I hated counting calories. I hated anything that involved measuring. I hated tracking food. And I wanted a simple way to be able to eat. I also wanted to stop it enough because I was so sick and tired of going to bed every night stuffed like a walrus. I would lay in bed crying sometimes after Chris would go to sleep because I felt so fat. And I felt so fat at night because the second he got home, I literally ate until I went to bed. Now, I ate for a million reasons why, but one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to learn how to stop it enough is because I never wanted to lay in bed and cry at night and shame anymore. That is a compelling why. And I don't think y'all talk about or think about your action whys near enough. So, getting some public accountability. I don't think you got to tell the world, but sometimes if you are someone who is very driven by not disappointing people, this is where we can take our people pleasing up and use it for good. Tell somebody, this is what I'm going to do today. This is what I'm not going to do today. Like, ask me at the end of the day. Sometimes you need somebody to ask you, like to follow up with you. But I never made that an important part of it. For me, it was enough to say something because I didn't want to have to come back and explain why I didn't do it. All right, let's go ahead and start some coaching, and then I'll get to the questions in the in-betweens. Let's see. Some of y'all talking about pressure. Y'all keep asking like, let me just tell you this while I'm waiting on Holly to come up. Number one, how you feel has nothing to do with anybody else. How you feel always starts with when they say I should, when they say these things, I think blank and I feel pressure. It is so important to understand that. Otherwise, we think we got to shut other people up to feel better instead of, I need to change how I think when they say these things. Like, if you think, like, let's just do the first question while Holly's coming up. Go ahead and you can turn your screen on and stuff if you want to. There's a lot of pressure from family to just do a GLP-1. I really don't know if I should go down that avenue. I've lost 13 pounds so far, but the pressure is a lot. No, you need to first understand why you have pressure. Your family's telling you to do it. And somewhere in there, you have a thought. They might be right. I should do what they say. Maybe I'm wrong. Whatever your thought is, that creates your pressure. And if you don't understand that, then we're going to need to shut your family up, get duct tape, throw them in a trunk, drive them off to a field and drop them off. I don't know what you think you're going to have to do to them, but that ain't going to happen. Like, we ain't the like show FBI or Chicago PD where we just run around like serial killer, knocking out all the people that give us pressure about dieting. So we have to change how we think about it. If my family's telling me I should start a GLP-1 and I've lost 13 pounds, you know what my first thought really is going to be to myself? I don't need it. I've lost 13 pounds. I ain't going to feel pressure. But if you're sitting there not thinking, I've lost 13 pounds, I must be doing it. I must be doing just fine. Let them talk. You can even think I'll prove them wrong. There's 1 million thoughts to think other than a pressure-filled one. All right, Holly, I got to drink something. Felt ready to start coughing. I'm at the tail end of this voice. Woo. All right, Holly, what do you got today?
Hi. Okay. I have noticeable anxiety even asking this question, just talking in general. I woke up the other night to use the bathroom at 4:30 in the morning and could not fall back asleep because I was having panic and immense amounts of shame about
What shame?
Just
I didn't
shame,
hear that.
immense amounts, like a lot of
Oh,
shame.
immense amount. I thought you
Yeah,
said,
sorry.
Mensa. I
I
was like, you worried about
mean,
being a genius?
no, that's actually something I would be happy about. So I was the shame in my mind. So I started on this journey in your program back in January. I have admittedly not been an A student with, I started by writing things down. I let go of, well, I guess my question is, let me start with that. I would like advice on where to start and also advice on stress management, living in what I feel is a chaotic hormonal mess and chaotic household.
Okay.
So woke up very stressed. I'm feeling a lot of shame lately. I had set a goal for myself in January that by the time I go camping for 4th of July, I would have progress. And I started and I had some progress. And I have danced with the same 5 pounds at my starting weight for months now. I got injured in February and just my nervous system was shot from dealing with slight sciatica and then a bad knee injury, which I'm now out of, thankfully. So I feel like I have control over that back. My home, I'm in perimenopause. I am 46. My daughter is going into puberty. My daughter nor my husband are great at emotional regulation. I actually teach emotional regulation. And I'm so challenged at times. I don't slip into effort eating as much as I could or should, but I am worried about feeling chronic stress. Even when I opt out, I don't participate in the conversation. I'm doing the things I need to try to stay calm. But sometimes I think, well, am I subconsciously so stressed out that my weight's not going to move no matter what? And then it makes me feel more helpless.
You know that weight loss has nothing to do with stress.
You texted me that a while ago, which
It
is when
literally
I
has no, there
joined.
is no scientific, there's a lot of people out there who are selling bullshit, expensive things, and talking about stress. Amazing how 30 years ago that wasn't a thing. 200 years ago that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Now that we can make money on it, it's a thing. So you need to just tell yourself right now, like, think about. Oh my God, this drives me crazy. Women
I
are so like, my God, marketed to. It is unreal to
know.
where
And I
we
feel
convince
desperate. So
ourselves.
like I am the person now that like it's being marketed to big time. And I'm
Yes.
smart enough to
Yes.
know that it's bullshit, but at the same time.
Because it, but you like, this is the thing. You don't deeply know it's bullshit. Otherwise, it wouldn't be triggering you. So there's something deep down inside of you that really believes that stress is gonna like not allow me to lose weight. If that was the case, then third world countries, where they're very stressed because they're worrying that, you know, they'll get kidnapped if they walk down the street. Like those people are really stressed all the time. Some of the thinnest fuckers in the world. How can that be? How can there be more people in the world living in stressful situations, war zones? And thin. Tell me, explain that to me.
I don't have an explanation because that's correct. Like
Yeah, because it's
if
not true. The
any,
only
yeah,
explanation
right.
is for all of us to understand. If we want to lose weight, you control what goes in your mouth, you're going to lose weight. That is like the simplest way for me to ever say it. The only thing you need to learn how to do is hand to mouth needs to slow the fuck down. That is it. Now, I doubt someone who teaches emotional regulation lives in chronic stress. You've already said 5,000 times in your call about all the things that you're doing. So you're obviously not in chronic stress. You may have stress and you have a shitty attitude about when you're stressed that it's going to make me fat. It's going to prevent me from losing weight. This shouldn't be happening. I'm perimenopause. Like if I was all of you, I'd quit calling myself perimenopause or menopausal. I've not talked to one woman that says it ever and is like, and that feels amazing. All we do is we say it over and over again, and we feel worse and worse about the time of our life. Instead of saying, I'm at a time in my life where I'm going to figure out how to treat myself well. I'm at a time in my life where if I have energy dips, I should probably look into how I'm eating. I should probably look into like these things that I can do to help myself feel better. That's a much better way to talk about our life than just like, I'm perimenopause, so stressed, I'm probably gonna be fat the rest of my life, and this will never work. And then you wonder why you feel shame.
I think for context, that's a really good point, and I can change the languaging on that and just not mention it every 3 seconds. I mean, for certain, because I do. I'm guilty of that.
Me too, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, and
I'm working
my
on it
friends are,
myself.
yeah, for sure. When I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I lost 110 pounds. I kept it off 10 years. I did it through macro counting and lifting weights and all those things. And oftentimes it comes up in my own mind, but also in outside conversations with family or people that know me. Why can't you just do what you did before? And
It's a
so
good
I
question. Why
carry,
not?
my life is very different now than it was then.
Okay, so we have the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why I asked the question, because a
Yeah.
lot of times we just like say these things, we never ask the answer the question. So we don't need to feel ashamed that we can't be like we were. We never have, this is what needs to go on in your head. When somebody says, why can't you just do like you did back then? You say, it's really simple. My life's not the same.
And I'm not the same.
Yeah, but your life isn't
Like,
the same.
yeah, both.
I mean, you know, there's a like, of course, now I was not healthy in my 20s. I never had the glory land that you did.
Yeah,
But
I had it for a hot minute.
there's like other things. Like in my 20s, girl, I could go out till 4 in the morning, show up at work at 8 o'clock, didn't even shower, brush my teeth, and put in a full day. Now, if I stay up past 10, I can't even wake up to my alarm.
Me too. Me
So,
too.
you know, we're just not the same. And that's okay because we never need to be like we used to be. And that doesn't work in the human body. We need to be like we need to be for today. And we just need to figure out what does Holly need today? Like at this stage in your life, like, you know, you said you had shame because you said you would have made progress. I feel like you've probably made some progress and you're giving yourself no credit for it. Number one, you're still here. Number two, there's like what, 7 weeks until July 4th? If all your goal, like literally, I want you to think about your only goal was to have, I wrote it down, I would have made progress. Well, you got 7 weeks. How about you get busy? Like, if that's what you really want, it's just waiting for you.
I could use support in where you would recommend plugging into, because there's so many courses within the big course. Would you recommend starting with the big course and laying that foundation, or is there a niche
Did you
other
take the big
subject?
course? Did you go all the way through it?
I listened to the whole thing, but I didn't
Okay.
do all the steps with it. But I listened to the whole thing twice.
Okay, I wouldn't start there then. I would go to, there's a program called START. That is like the, this is what I tell everybody to go to when, if you've already taken the NoBS course and you need to kind of like, think of it as like a restart. So we have like two programs. We've got one called START, which is really geared towards the people who, like, I know your basics, Corinne. Like, I've listened to your course. Like, I understand it. They ain't doing shit with it. Like, you know, or
Yeah.
I'm kind of half-assing, or, you know, I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm kind of in that range. You start with that one. It's 8 weeks, which will line up perfectly with your goal. You'll make plenty of progress. And we take each basic and we kind of spend a couple of weeks on each one. And it's a deeper dive into them where like the emotional eating kind of mixes in with the practical part of it.
Okay, great.
And we start in a good order. So I would do that. And
Okay.
I would listen to it. I would follow, there's a schedule in there to follow. I would just Don't, here's what I would not do. When anybody, when I have someone like you, don't do it unless you're committed to actually using the companion guide that goes with it. And then listen to it slower than you think you need to. So the temptation is like, oh, these videos are so short. Like we're going to want to binge them like Netflix. It's like, you know, just rolls one right into another. I wouldn't do that. I would like look at the schedule and I would watch the videos and only go as fast as you're actually implementing so that you're not jumping ahead to things and you didn't really give yourself time and space to understand, you know, this section. That's how I would do it. And that's going to make progress happen faster than turbo listening from shame and pressure to do something by July 4th. Because if you fire hose all the information back into yourself, you're more likely to get overwhelmed. You're more
And I do
likely
get
to fail.
overwhelmed.
Yeah. Like, so if we know that about you, then we want to know, like, hey, I don't want to put myself in an overwhelmed situation. I want to put myself in the best situation. And the best situation is we're going one at a time. We're going to do the companion guide. And since you do a lot of nervous system regulation, this is going to make complete sense to you. I want you to move forward when you feel in your body like, all right, I can take in more information. So when we overwhelm easy, that means we're not regulating our nervous system. We're not listening to our body. We're listening to our brain. And our brain is always going to be like, oh my God, July 4th is coming. And bitch, you didn't do shit since January. And you know your daughter's also like 13 and you're perimenopausal. Like your brain is just
It never
like the,
stops.
nobody's
It really doesn't
at like,
stop.
well, this is the thing. Nobody's brain stops.
Yeah.
We all think we're some kind of like magic unicorn who is, or not a unicorn, we're like the horned devil that's, you know, at hell's gates. And that is our brain. And everybody else is like, you know, a beautiful princess riding on the back of a unicorn in their head. That is not, I like, I've coached so many women. We are all the horned devil most of the time. I am. I just have my shit around other stuff now. It's like the second I retire, body is like, well, hello, money. You know, it's just like, something's always a problem. So we just want to know that
Thank
we want
you.
to get
Can I just say
better at
thank
it.
you for saying that? Because that is my lived experience over the last decade. And I just really appreciate another human saying, I've not heard anybody put it that way.
The
So that
horned
was big.
devil.
Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because I
But
felt
it's
like, am I
so.
just super negative that I'm always looking for something wrong? And okay, thank you.
Now.
Good.
Well, just so you feel better, and if this resonates with someone else, the way your brain, all brains, every brain is wired is very primal. Its job is to protect you because back in, you know, caveman days, like the world was really a dangerous place. Like if you left your cave, you know, people would wish you good luck and we hope to see you again, like every day, you know, it's just you're rolling the dice on whether or not you're going to live. Well, we're in the modern day. And, you know, we ain't rolling the dice. You know, you walk outside, you ain't gonna die. You know, like, in fact, we're gonna be living longer than we ever have. You know, like, I keep telling my mother, take care of yourself, bitch. With AI, you're likely to live another 50 years. You don't know when things are gonna change. She keeps telling me, she's like, you know, if I'm alive next year, I'm like, Mama, you are 69 years old.
Oh
God,
I
I
wasn't
know.
expecting you to say 69. I thought you were going to say like
My
85
mother's
or something.
young.
Wow, that's
No,
funny.
she is not like in her 90s. She is like getting ready to turn 70. And I'm like, you can live 30 fucking more years, easy. And if AI does anything in the next 10 years, you're probably living 50 more. I mean, just like, so anyway, reason why I say all that is because our brains are still very wired to only find problems, to scare the shit out of you. It's just wired like it always has been. It's just never caught up with modern time. That is the unconscious part that you're hearing. So when I say the unconscious part, there's parts of our thinking we don't hear that are like really our beliefs that we don't understand unless we talk them out loud, write them down, do coaching. Then there's the unconscious part that's just running And then when you start feeling bad, suddenly you know what you're thinking. You're like, no, my brain's a negative. It's just always thinking bad things. It's all this other stuff. The only thing that's really changed throughout evolution is we've gotten a better understanding of our brain, and we actually understand we can override it now. So the real key isn't to get a brain that's always happy. Just like shame is, like I always tell myself, shame's not a big deal until I make it a big deal. Shame is one of the emotions we're supposed to have. Like you kind of want, like just think about this. Unless you woke up at 4:30 this morning full of shame that you ain't done jack shit, or like you haven't been doing jack shit, or you're not where you thought you would be, how would you ever have the motivation to do the things you want? We don't, like, we never think about, like, the negative emotions serve a big purpose. Shame triggers you to think. Thinking triggers you to think about what you want. What you want when you make a plan leads to feeling more motivated to go after it. That's how this works. But we get so caught up that we're feeling negative that it's like, I don't know. And look, we wouldn't even talk about stress. Like, sometimes I'm stressed about my son. Like, especially right now, he's got some new friend that he was talking to me about yesterday. I was like, how old's this lady? I was like, what are y'all doing? You know, like, but I think in my mind, the way I think about it is when I'm stressed about it, that is a very good trigger for me to connect with him, to ask him, hey, tell me about your friend again. What are y'all doing? Like, where are you going? Like, it allows me, like, if I wasn't stressed, if I was just like, well, whatever. You know, if a 50-year-old woman wants to hang out with Logan and, you know, he's driving her everywhere, I guess that's all right. Like, I don't necessarily want to feel at peace with that. What I'd like is to have emotions that I can check. So, like, I don't know. It's just like if you saw somebody stabbed, would you, and you were happy? Like, well, that's a beautiful splay of blood I see there.
Sociopathic.
Exactly. Like, but just imagine if we didn't have our negative emotions, how often life would be shit because we'd be doing the wrong things. So just don't get too caught up in that. But start with a START program. Know that stress can't make you overweight. Now, if you have chronic stress, that doesn't mean you have chronic stress. I want you to always say it this way. If I have chronic stress, it's because I'm not managing my mind. It all starts with my brain. If I feel stressed, it's because I thought something about my situation. So what first, let your mind blame whatever it needs to blame. The easiest way to figure out what's like bothering you is to
I know what
first,
it is. I know
what is
what
it?
oftentimes it's my significant other and the
Okay.
fact that my spouse, because he has weight loss goals as well and thinks that we are the same because we are both adults. He's male,
Yeah.
I'm female.
But how's that stressing you?
It stresses me
You're telling
because
me the fact, so that's really good, right? We know the facts of the situation. I have a partner who has health goals. He thinks we're just alike. Now we have our
And
facts. Now you feel
it adds
stressed
to the
out.
pressure. Like it adds to the pressure for me
Out.
to feel like if I don't make progress or make progress fast enough, that I'm seen as like incapable or
Okay.
like
Has he
something to be
said,
stable.
so let me just check this. I know you're upset, and I'm going to just
Sorry.
try to keep you talking. No, you can be upset all you want, but I'm going to make you keep talking. Unless you feel like your nervous system's out of whack, and you just need to say, like, I can't do this anymore. And then I'll stop. But you seem like a tough lady. So when he says that, and then you're not making progress, does he say you're incapable?
No.
What does he say?
Why don't you just do what you did when you lost it the first time?
Okay, and we've already cleaned that up. We just say, my life's not the same.
That's an excuse. Because look at so and so, because she's your age and she's a mom and she works full time and she did
And he
it.
says all this.
Yes.
Okay. And then what do you like? What are your thoughts when he says all that?
I'm angry and hurt because one, I can see the rationale in it being an excuse.
Okay, so
And
that's not angry and hurt.
well, I feel
That's
hurt because it just,
agreeance.
yeah, I think like in a rational, not in the moment because I'm pissed, right?
Right, but
But
we want to know why we're pissed. So the first thing we know is that when you say, I have pressure because now I'm incapable, we already know that's your fault, not his. He never said you were incapable, but notice how you started crying because inside, when he says that, you think that must mean he thinks I'm incapable. That must mean I am incapable. Instead of when he says, what I don't even know how we got to incapable. Oh, when you're not making progress. Instead of just saying to yourself, like, he's wrong. His perspective is very different than mine. But you don't have your perspective nailed, is the problem. You're relying on his, and you're allowing his opinions and his thoughts and his words be your personal perspective for you.
You
And
are
that's
accurate.
where we have power and control. Now, there's only three ways to fix this. One, we take him out to the silos and we bury him because we're a serial killer and he doesn't agree with us. So we kill anybody that doesn't agree with us.
That sounds messy, so no.
Exactly. All right. So, and we'd go to jail and nobody wants to
Yes,
go.
that's
The
no one's
worst
cute.
weight loss plan ever is the jailbird plan. All right. Option number two is to argue with them all the time and tell them how they have to think about you. They are not allowed to say these things. They should act this way. You
I've
should
tried
have
that,
all of this.
and that's
So
ineffective.
very ineffective because you're at like he wants you to think like him and you want him to think like you. Doesn't work.
Correct.
You don't like it when he's wanting you to think like him. I guarantee you, when you try to defend your position and shit, he ain't gonna like that you want him to think like him. Because no one's right in this situation. You think you're right, he thinks you're right. Everyone's actually wrong. The only thing that's right is what you want to think about this situation because it affects how you feel, and how you feel affects how you act. And that will always be the most powerful position you'll ever be in. When you're controlling your opinion versus trying to control his, now I have power. If I'm controlling his opinion, I ain't working on my food, I'm working on tissues. I'm working on like a bag of ding dongs and chips. I'm working on anything but what I need to work on. And then the third option is to decide, what do you want your opinion of yourself to be? Because I don't think you've decided. I think you're going along with what you've always thought instead of making a conscious decision of, I want to think about myself like this. When he says, I should be like her, or she can, whatever, in those moments. I want my opinion to be this for me. And that I think is where like the real work, like do the start. There's some like thought work in there, but the most important thing you've got to do is decide how you want to think and feel about yourself. Then you're going to see stress and pressure come way down. It's going to be what we call not chronic stress anymore. It's going to be called normal stress. Normal things in life will stress you, and there will be the triggers to look at things and stuff and be productive. But right now, you've got at least 50% of your stress is coming from the inside now. We can fix that.
Yeah, that resonates a lot. There've been a lot of really big life changes, since he and I met and got married, and my mom passed of cancer, and moving, and in the last 4 or 5 years has been very tumultuous, and I have not rooted myself in this new identity. I think the last time I actively took and did work on that, wrote about it, meditated on it, for me, prayed about it, was before I met him. So that's a really good question for me to do work on, and to be more specific about what I need and the support that I need. And then have a conversation with him about what he is able to give in that type of support and what
You know
maybe
what
I
I
get to
would
go
do?
elsewhere for.
You can do that if you want, but I'm going to strongly advise you that not to talk to him about this for 90 days until
Okay.
you are so good at supporting yourself. It
That's
is
a really good point.
such a handicap and so temporary because, like, usually what we do in life is we want some level of support and we go to people who they're no good at that. That's not how they think. Just like there's like several things I wish Chris supported me on in certain ways. Chris sucks at that shit. He's terrible. He's not a conversationalist. Just like I asked him this question the other day. When we talk, a lot of times, especially if we're talking about something serious, he will just stare off into nothing, like for a long time and say nothing. And like I'm just really quick to answer. Like I go with my gut. I go with like, I mean, I'm going to answer things. Like I'm like, hot potato. Chris is not like that. Chris is a thinker. He's analytical. He's like all the things. And so I don't know. The other day we were talking about something, and he was just, and it. I was like, I'm not saying a fucking word. We'll see how long it takes. Like 2 minutes later, he's still stoic, like a Siamese cat sitting there. And I finally said, what is going on in your head? And he looked at me and he said, nothing. I said, nothing. I was like, not a thing. And he's like, no, my brain doesn't work like yours. And I said, you're not even thinking about what we're talking about. And he's like, well, kinda. But it's like, he told me, he's like, in my mind, it's like images. And I need to see all my images and I have to sort through them. And I was like, oh my God, I would hate that. Like, first of all, so not me. But it made me like suddenly realize like all these years where I've been pissed thinking he wasn't listening or he didn't care. Like, I mean, I can tell you a million things I have thought about that man. And then suddenly when he said that, I was like, oh my God. Like, that's what his experience is. So for me, if I need, like, if I go to him and say, like, hey, when we fight, when we're having a deep conversation, I mean, it would mean so much to me and I would feel so much better. I mean, I could even say it like a sweetheart. Like, if you could just respond faster, like, my nervous system would calm down and I would feel like you're really listening. And it would just, the love boat would just sail into my life. And he would just be like, well, can't do it. And not being mean, but it's like, I literally can't do it. I'm not good at that. And I could try, but I would just be faking it for you. And that is often what we want when we're asking someone else for support and we're going to them and trying to get them to meet all of our needs and whatever. It's saying, you know what I would love? I would love for you to just fake it through life with me. Can you just pretend to be somebody else all for my sake? Don't be who you are. Because I got a much better version of the man I married sitting right here, and I'm in love with him. You ain't it. So if you act like that, I'll be in
Yeah,
love.
that won't go over well.
No.
No. Yeah, I have to hop off video here in a second and run an errands, but that gave me so much insight because this is my second marriage, and when I lost weight the first time, I met my ex-husband in the process of starting that journey, who was my coach initially, and his question to me was, "Well, do you want it or don't you?" Like he was just a dick to me. And then we ended up in a relationship. And then when my marriage ended, I had a boyfriend who was a competitive bodybuilder. So I've always been like with someone that, in terms of my health, was pushing me, but not always in a healthy way. But to your point, I never did it because I rooted myself. And now
Amen,
I don't
sister.
have to do this for my partner. Like I get to do it for me.
Exactly.
And I have to find a way to root that and hold on to it. And I think the 90-day advice is like stellar. So thank you. I just
90
appreciate
days
your
was.
generosity with your time. And
Oh, yeah.
I will
Yeah.
be working on start. And yes, I'm still here. And I want to be on calls more too. I think that'll really help to have some support and just keep it.
Yeah.
in my
This
ears.
is the place where you can ask for the support you need.
Yes.
Luckily, here, we
Yes.
will bend over backwards and we will not be faking it.
Yes. Yes. That's
Thank you,
great. Oh,
Holly.
Corinne, you're awesome. Thanks.
All
Thanks,
right,
everybody.
bye-bye. One last thing about that she was saying about the 90 day for a lot of you is I think what's important is like you spend 90 days figuring out like how to support yourself the best you can. Like you give yourself literally 90 days to be your best support system. What is it that I need to support me? Where am I not supporting me? What words and actions am I, especially the words you're saying to yourself, the way you're thinking, that's not supportive? Like when you figure out how to support you, oh my gosh, everything in life gets so much easier because you're not depending on things anymore. You're depending on you. And now you can depend on you. And you're the one person we can depend on. You may have to learn how to do that, but you are literally the one person that 100% of the time we can depend on if you just decide to do it. We can't do that with other humans. Other humans have nights where they don't sleep well, where their hormones are out of whack, where they're having a bad day, where they've got a lot of stress and pressure on the inside that they don't talk about, that they keep balled up. And they don't want to talk about it. So it's really hard to go to these people and say, hey, I need you to take on a second job, which is being my ultimate support system because I'm not doing it. I don't want to hire someone to support me. It's just like, you don't need it. It's like wasting your money. Like, you do it for you. And it'll be the best gift you ever give yourself. All right, Kathleen. This is a good question, Gina. I love you. I'm about 7 pounds from what the medical community considers normal for my age and height, but I have lost 130 pounds and gone past the goal I originally set. But I feel pretty comfortable now. Is this okay? Absolutely. I don't know that all of those weight ranges and stuff, they don't take into consideration near enough stuff. I mean, weight ranges are helpful as guidelines at best, but they are not the end all be all. So if you are comfortable where you're at, and the biggest thing is like how's your health markers? Like, have you been to the doctor? Is your blood pressure in check? How's your cholesterol? How's all that stuff? I'm gonna guess all of that's good. And that's what's most important. Like, if you feel good, plus your health markers are in line because of all the weight loss and stuff you've done, I don't know that we can ask for much more than that. I think that is a beautiful gift you've given yourself. All right, Kathleen, can you turn your camera on?
Yeah, let me. I'm trying to figure it out here. Some reason it's
Oh,
not on. Let me
hang
see.
on.
Some
Let's
little
see.
icon I need to press. Sorry.
That's
Has asked you
okay.
to start your video. Okay.
Yeah, I gave you the button.
Hi.
Hello.
First of all,
Well, you look
hi.
lovely.
Well, thank you. Let me tell you that I just want to say that I want to thank you because a lot of good is happening, and I'm going to try to organize myself because I feel like I've been getting a lot of signs, and I lurked around this program for a long time, coming from a place where, self-scolding and shoulda this, that, the other thing, and letting somebody else tell me, a sponsor, what to eat. And I have no, all this stuff. So thank you for that. And coming back from, I also identify with the previous caller because I nursed my mother, which was very difficult until she died. And I'm looking forward now, after settling everything, to having this wonderful time ahead. And the first thing I did was jump on Start in January. And it really helped. And yet I was like, what am I doing? For example, I don't write down my food, but I organize it. And then I'm like, oh, you're not good. You're not doing that right. And then I thought, okay, shut up. Stop doing that. And
Right.
I'm on a GLP, but let me tell you something for me, and I'm just setting you up so you can, whatever.
You're fine.
I could eat till the cow comes home on that. And I learned that I need to set up structures while I have goals. If you're going to have the time when you feel like, as they say, the food noise is silent, then just get to it. But that's easier said than done. And then I'm sitting here, I think delayed grief and depression, sitting in the house, sitting in the house, sitting in the house. And I used to be a sassy gal when I was younger and loved to dance, loved to do this. So I was movement, movement, you got to do it. And I loved watching your arms. I thought this was the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And but what happened was, is the local gym here, which I can walk to because that's another story. I don't drive. Don't ask. I took the 42-day challenge. And what I noticed was, is that, okay, so first, it's almost 3 weeks now. And they said, okay, well, you're going to get your stats done on, Monday and all that. And all of a sudden, I realized that somebody else was going to weigh me. And I went to weigh myself and I freaked out because I've lost 23 pounds since January, but then I was up a couple of pounds. And I want to thank you also because I sat down and said, well, last week was your husband's birthday. You went out to lunch a couple of times. You might have thought you were tracking it right, but okay. And I had this epiphany of like, oh my God, you can actually do this without saying, don't take my stuff away from me. I'm hiding. Don't take it away. And I was very analytical and I'm very intuitive. I was hearing the signs, and so that was great. But
Good.
the gym, I mean, I went because if I try to pick up an earring under the bed, I feel like I have to call 911 to get back up. Now, I know I'm older. I'm 69. I'm going to be 70 in September. But I get to the thing and I realize this is not optimal. It's not like, personalized, private, $1,000 an hour thing, but the people couldn't have been nicer.
Well, good.
Plugging along. But Friday, I completely freaked out. Arms and legs, I soldiered through. Abs and cardio, I thought it might have been easier to join the Marines. It was terrible for me. And when I left, I mean, I couldn't get up off the floor from the abs. I crawled to the nearest chair like a little toddler to get up. And people were trying to help me. And I was totally judging myself for, oh my God, look at this. You're wasting their time. They're here. And you're drawing too much attention to yourself and all this stuff. So basically, I want to thank you because I even got through those feelings yesterday. And the old shitty stuff and the talking, and I could tell you for hours why, but I don't think I have to. We all have our whys. But I just wanted to say that, I feel like things are coming at me and I'm grabbing them and implementing them, but I
Okay.
feel a little bit like I'm running and just grabbing things in the wind. I'm not sure if it's just the way it's happening. And I haven't taken the regular no BS course. So it was good to hear the previous caller and talk about that. And I really did stay. I stayed for a long time, just kind of lurking barely in the background because I have a lot of respect for what I've heard from you and everybody else. And so thank you for that. But oh
What do you
my
need help
God.
with?
Well,
What do you think is the one thing you need help with?
what do I think I need help with? I think I need help with, I was a little bit afraid, don't know why to talk to you, and don't know why. And what I think I need help with is how do I, and I joined an accountability group, but I feel like I'm kind of all over the place. I'm not sure if I should say, fine, you are, but look what's happening. It's good. Or what?
What
So,
does being all over the place mean to you?
well, I'm not writing my food down and I'm planning it by going out and prepping it, but I don't have a plan. I know what I'm, it's in my head, but I'm not doing what, I'm not writing it down. So I'm judging myself, I guess, for that. And yet
So,
it's
but is
going
it
well.
slowing you? But is it, if it's going well, I wouldn't worry about it because you're already kind of doing the planning, but like when you say, I'm prepping it kind of ahead of time and stuff. So back in the day, like we've had a million iterations of no BS. So a lot of my old school people are going to remember this. We used to have a weekly plan. And so we had a planner that was very different than the one we have now. But in the planner back then, there was the weekly plan and people hated it because it made you plan your week out the whole week in advance so that all the
Okay.
decisions were made. And then all you had to do each day was evaluate how you did. Well, most people said it was overwhelming and they hated it. So I took it out and I was like, well, we're going to go to the 24-hour plan. We're going to really just focus on, can you plan a little ahead of time? It sounds like you're just doing my old school. I'm planning further out and then I'm just kind of implementing and it's in my head because I've already kind of thought about it in one fell swoop. Is that, am I hearing you correctly or no?
Yeah, but the thought work I had to do yesterday in order when I said the scale went up, and I was like, well, wait a minute now. And I saw myself refining, not depriving, but refining. Well, you know what? Maybe just like, okay. And the stopping at enough, which was, I mean, I foreign to me before this, because there's never any amount of food that I can't not eat, I think. And but feeling satisfied was it. It was just like, this is so new. But yeah, I think I've been beating myself up about the fact that that nice piece of paper that I printed out, that I was like, I bought a planner and it's still empty and it's now May.
This is fine. Like, I'm just going to tell all of you. But here's how I think about planning. And well, I'm not even going to say this out loud because I'm like 100% sure on my side, but just in case something happens where I can't implement something by August, I'll just save it as a big surprise. But the real key is to think before you eat. Okay. So that is where we just make sure that before we eat, we're thinking about, like, am I hungry? Thinking, have I had enough? Is this kind of in line with what, like, I thought I would do? If you don't want to plan, it's fine. That's why I save planning for the end and the main course, is because it's not the most important one. Where it becomes beneficial or where we need it is when you need to plan if you're an emotional eater. Because without a plan, you have nothing showing you that you are emotionally eating. Like, it's just really hard to know. And you will weigh in and you'll think you've done really good because there's a few days where it was a real struggle. And then there was like a few days where you're just kind of assing around and you forget the ass around days. You just remember the hard days and you think it should pay off on the scale. So I just wouldn't worry about the planning. It sounds like what you're doing is you're thinking before you eat. You're even thinking about the things you're going to eat. Now, if the scale goes up, like you said, now you have a trigger to kind of reflect on your week and be like, oh, okay, there was a birthday. There was this. That could explain that. And so now you're just going to like say, like, all right, for this next week, I'm going to kind of go back to what I was doing. I don't have a birthday this week, that kind of thing. And we'll see what happens on the scale. But I don't think anybody needs to plan unless they, you don't need to plan if you're food prepping, if you're thinking about a week in advance, if you're doing like that, that's already planning. It's just planning in a different way. But I do advise for most people to make a 24-hour plan when you know without one, you're going to eat like an asshole. So for a lot of women, if they don't have a daily plan, then their mood will dictate all their choices. They will have not made any decisions. They will just roll into meals, going with the flow, going with how they feel because they're so tired. That plan helps you see when those things are happening, and it gives you a 50-50 shot in those moments to, instead of like, let's say every night that you're tired and stressed out or whatever, you tend to order pizza or you tend to order like an Uber Eats or something. If you have a plan, you have to override that. So there's like a speed bump that you have to go through in order to do that. It will alert you like, oh my God, like you're about to order Uber Eats, you're about to order pizza because you're stressed out and you're tired. Are you sure you want to do that? Because this morning you were so interested in a salad because you want to lose weight. Like, it's a trigger for a lot of people to think through things. So I just wouldn't beat myself up with it. There's nothing you've said. Like, when you said I'm all over the place, I feel like what you're doing, if this is a better way to think about it, is you kind of are grabbing at things and you're trying things on to see what you like. And that is about all I can ask for anyone. Like, you're trying this boot camp thingy, whatever's going on at the gym. Like, you've grabbed that and you're trying it. And I think that's great to try it. You've like taken parts of the program that you like and you're using them. And I think that's great. There's no one right way to do no BS for all of you.
Yeah, I mean that's it also no BS is no more self-flagellation, which but I was so happy yesterday because all of a sudden I said, well, wait a minute, what a couple of days ago, what happened that you've been doing so well and what are the and the minute I thought about it and then just like calm down and let a few days pass, it went away. I mean the up went down again. And I but this is really the first time that I've ever been really conscious of you decided to do that instead of saying, fuck it, I'm going to eat everything in sight and I'm going to be this way. And so I'm not here to praise myself. I'm here just to like, kind of say, I'm here because I felt like I, for a long time, I was really lurking. And been times when I've tried to, I've doing something and I think, oh man, I missed that meeting and I would love to have gotten on. And it's just reining myself in. And every day it's like, well, what do you want? And when I say I loved your arms, I mean, I'm going to be me and my age and whatever I am. But I just love the idea that you did that and that, obviously you like it. And it just, and I actually feel better. I mean, cleaned the house the other day and I was moving and stretching just after 2.5 weeks, like no one's business. And I said, my God, and I've been complaining about energy and oh, I'm so tired. And no, I do not sleep well. There's a couple of reasons for that, but that doesn't, that's like another story. It's just so many things that I'm pulling in, but I kept thinking I'm not getting on and I'm not saying anything. And I remember times when you'd say, does anybody want to be coached today? And it's like, I want to say thank you because I'm very touched by what I hear. This, I had a really difficult relationship with my mother who was just could never get over the fact that as I got later in my 30s, 40s, and that I started gaining weight, and it was very, very painful, hurtful, and even other issues. And I can't let that voice live in my head anymore. And I'm very glad to be here. And, I identified so strongly with the person that just spoke before because, but I do like, I was surprised. I thought, I kind of like those the weightlifting feeling. It's actually kind of nice. And
Yes.
just
You
a
keep
lot
doing that. I'm going to
to
tell you right now, if I could get every woman in this damn program to lift weights, I would. I mean, there is nothing more empowering, and they're lifting weights, there's nothing that will make you feel better physically faster. Because when you challenge, like
it's
cardio is
amazing.
one thing, but man, when you start lifting weights, suddenly it's like opening jars gets easier. Like you just don't even realize the things in your life that just get easier. Like Chris is always so shocked at shit I can do. Like I start manhandling things. Like he'll come upstairs, I've moved things around and he's like, did one of the handymen come by? And I'm like, no, motherfucker, I did that. I
No,
lift weights. But
and
I think
yet,
you're doing great. I think you're doing great. And I don't think you're just grabbing at things. I think you're actually taking the things that make sense and you're putting them in and you're watching your life get better. And I can't ask for any better.
well, I just wanted to get on here, and it's also saying it out loud because yesterday that was this in the past few days was quite a revelation for me. That sounds kind of. Well, all this time you never figured that one out, but what the hell? That's just another thought. But the last thing I wanted to say was that, and yet with all of this, and I have a lot of weight to lose, but it's like my gynecologist when I went to, she goes, I don't understand how you could be diagnosed with osteopenia. She said, you have 64.1 skeletal muscle mass. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm going to lift the weights anyway. What the hell, take that calcium. But that's just, yeah, I really appreciate just coming out and saying, obviously the all over the place is me putting myself down. So I'll have to think about that.
All right. You have a good one. Thank you.
And thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, let's get Debbie. Bring you up. Sometimes, let's see. Do you think that antidepressants can alter brain chemistry to make a person not care about losing weight when they actually do really want to lose weight? If you actually really do want to lose weight, then we already know you really want to lose weight. Now, you might have times where you feel disinterested for a reason and you want to figure that reason out. But like two things can be true at once. I can really want to lose weight, and then I can have times in my life where I want something else, and it could feel like I don't want to lose weight because that's the excuse I use in the moment. I often feel like my brain overrides my will to try to lose weight. Lately, it seems like I just don't care, but inside, gaining weight has me depressed. I think you do care. I think what you want to be looking at is you can bring it up with your psychiatrist. I don't know that this is actually an antidepressant thing, but that's a great thing to ask your psychiatrist. I mean, I take Wellbutrin right now. I have been on several things my entire life because I have battled with severe depression most of my life. But what I most often find is that we want to lose weight, and then when we have times in our life where we're stressed out, where we're tired, where we're really sad or whatever, in the moment we want to fix that feeling so bad that we will say, I don't want to lose weight. And we label it as, I must not care, instead of, I really care about losing weight. And there is emotional eating that happens because I don't know how to deal with these emotions yet. Like two things can be true at one time. And that is my answer for that. And that's where, if I was you, Anonymous, I would take, like, all right, these times when it feels like I should be doing better, making better choices or whatever, take them to ask coaches and remind yourself it isn't because I don't want to lose weight. It's probably because in this moment, there was like a bigger fire to put out. Like, if I am, let's say, really anxious about something, like I'm just super worried about something, and I'm spending like my days worked up and worrying and all the things. Like, y'all know what it's like to go through 2 or 3 days of just like ragged hell because something is just weighing on you. During that time, I may want to lose weight, but through that, I'm going to want to not feel bad about whatever I'm feeling bad about. I'm going to want to not feel anxious. And in those moments, I'm going to eat, not because I don't care about losing weight. I'm going to eat to escape that, to make that better for a little bit, to just feel better in this moment. And so we want to take all of that to the coaches so we can dissect it based on, like, how can we help you with, sometimes it's like that nervous system stuff that Kathy's talking about. For some people, they need to be able to feel their feelings. They've never been taught how to do it. They don't feel safe doing it. They feel like it's wrong. They're ashamed of them. They have so much stuff around them. And we just want to grow our capacity to feel them. Sometimes it's just coaching. It's just learning that, like, this thing I'm worried about, we might be able to find some room to think about it a little differently so we're not as worked up, so we're not as anxious and stuff. Sometimes we need a combination of both. I need to look at my situation a little different while I'm also learning how to be anxious and not have to eat over it. But that's stuff you can do in coaches, and that's stuff we can help you with. All right, what we got today? It's your turn.
Hi, Corinne.
Hey.
I've been a member just real quick since 2019.
Okay.
I lost my mom in 2021, and I had lost 25 pounds prior to that. Everything was going really good. Of course, everything turned upside down when she passed, because it was very unexpected. And the weight came back on. And I think I've just recently realized that I'm suffering from some depression over the years. It's like I have a mental block. I want to get back into no BS, and I've been listening. I'm not doing the actions, but I listen on my way. I just can't find the I can't find how to get over the wall. I
What
want
is the
to.
wall?
I'm not sure. It's just like I know I dream,
but I don't remember any of my dreams anymore. I don't feel motivated, even though I'll put a list together and say, okay, this is what I want to start working on. I'm motivated in the moment. I want to do it. And 10 minutes later, I don't
But we
have.
know we just need to not rely on motivation, number one.
Okay. Yeah.
Like most people in this situation are not going to feel motivated first. In fact, it's very rare to feel motivated first. We can feel motivated to make a list. That sounds productive. We can be
Okay.
motivated to like listen to some audios. That sounds great. But if you're going, like, tell me one basic that right now you're just like, I'm definitely not motivated to do this one. Here's at basic.
probably planning, actually writing it down, which is a kind of odd because my husband and I, every weekend, we plan out our entire week. We plan out our breakfast, our lunches, our dinners.
Wait, how are you not planning then if you're doing that every weekend with your husband?
That's like stays on the fridge, but I don't plan the rest of it, like doing the planner itself with all the questions. My
You don't need to do that. In fact,
okay.
if you've been in the program at all in the last year, we simplified that. There ain't that many questions on there. I
Yeah.
don't care if you ever use that sheet or not. You're already making a plan. I don't like, so we can just knock that out. You already make a plan with your husband every week. Do you follow it?
Yes and no. And my biggest hurdle is at work. I tend to get really tired, like almost wanting to fall asleep at work. And I turn to snacking. And I
What
notice
time do you
it.
get tired?
I know it's a distraction.
Well, let's make sure it's a distraction and not a gap in your nutrition. So
Okay.
next month y'all are getting healthify, and because I've been recording 29 of the videos this morning, it's very fresh on my mind as to what it teaches. So what time are you needing to eat for energy?
Probably right between 10:30 and 11 during the day.
Okay. Why do you think that's a distraction and not legit hunger?
Because I will keep eating or snacking, and my body's telling me I'm full.
Okay. But
Yeah.
what are you distracting from then?
And trying to stay awake.
Okay. So what are you having for breakfast?
I normally do like a Fairlife protein shake, and then I will do maybe a hard-boiled egg right about 9:30-ish.
So
And
you're
then,
not eating enough, first of all.
okay.
A Fairlife shake is 180 calories, right?
Probably. I usually
If
don't
it's the
look at my
26 gram one, it's like 100. Well, the core one, which is very similar to Fairlife. If you get the big one, the 26 grammer, you got 180 calories. You got 70 in an egg. You ain't even eating. Yeah, that's 250 fucking weak ass calories. Do you know how many calories is in my breakfast?
No, probably a lot because you lift weights.
It ain't because I lift weights. It's because I'm a human that breathes and takes shits regularly. If you crawl out of your bed every day, you're going to need at least a good 17 to 1800 to function.
Okay.
I mean, that is if you just get out of bed. I mean, this
Right.
bitch only gets 2000 steps a day. I don't know what y'all think's happening in this world, but I finally bought a walking pad, actually. I was like, oh my God, I've got to walk more. But you have no fat in your breakfast. Well, your egg, a hard-boiled egg, kind of does, but it's very little. You also have zero carbs in your breakfast. Carbs are what give you the energy.
Oh, okay.
All right. So the first thing I would, so my breakfast is at least, now I'm not a big calorie counter, but I like to add things up just so that when we have occasions like this, I know y'all are math nerds, even though I don't care how hard I try to break y'all out of being not calorie people. Sometimes y'all need some math. I do at least 600 for breakfast because
Okay.
I'm going to be working all day. Like my big meal needs to be the first meal. I do work out for, the first half of the day. But even if I, like today, I'm not lifting at all and I still ate a 600 calorie breakfast. Today's my off day. So we need to get like, you need to get up. You need to double what you're eating basically for
Okay.
breakfast. Okay. I will bet you that is going to, because when you say like once I start, like I eat, I have a shake, which is like, nothing. Then I eat like a paltry little egg that even a toddler would eat more of. And then you're like, I'm so confused. Why 10:30? I'm hungry. I must be needing a distraction from my work. It's like, I think you're just underfueled. And if I
Okay.
had to guess, are you eating at night too now?
No, I actually can after dinner, which is I can cut off at enough.
Okay.
I may have a small mini ice cream sandwich, but that's hit or miss.
Okay.
I can close the kitchen at night right after dinner.
That's probably because, like, what I want to do is kind of reverse engineer what you're doing.
Okay.
So you're probably able to not eat at night because you're technically getting plenty of food through the day, but you're doing it this way. I'm having a shake, then a hard-boiled egg, then I'm eating like a donkey butt, and then I'm having lunch. And it's
Right.
like, well, let's just not eat like a donkey. Because what are you eating when you get to the when you get to your witching hours?
It could be I usually pack like popcorn, homemade popcorn, crackers, Triscuits, that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's going to set you up to want to keep snacking. That is your biggest problem. All right.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that some of it's not emotional too. There may be something where it's just like you hit a certain like, but you keep saying it's because I'm tired. And if you're really tired, I think it's coming because the first half of the day, you're just not giving yourself what you need in order to feel sustained, to like have good, steady flow energy.
Okay.
So if it was me, I would have, if you want to keep having your breakfast shake or if you want to have a real breakfast, you can have that. I'd probably have at least two eggs. I'd probably like one of my favorite things in the whole world is, oh God, who makes those? It's a Dave's Killer Bagels.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dave's Killer Bread. So you can either do two pieces of his toast or one of his bagels, and I would still have my shake, and I'd probably still have at least an egg or two.
Okay.
And that would be my breakfast. I wouldn't be spreading it out either. Like your body does so much better when you're not just like, I don't know. It's, you know how like a drug addict is just like they're constantly needing to
Right.
do it. And I feel like sometimes y'all are acting like meth heads, where it's just like every 2 hours I got to get my hit, you know? And it's not because food is like a drug. It's just where it's like, I don't know, y'all get so scared that you'll overeat. I'm like, but you're overeating. Like, let's
Yes.
just have a real meal and know what it feels like to be very satisfied with plenty of energy. You're going to hear next month in that program, I'm going to talk to you 1,000 times. You're going to be called a well-fed woman. That is like the whole goal in No BS is for y'all to be well-fed women, not starving, emaciated, barely hanging on by a thread women trying to lose weight. Like them days are over. They don't work. If they worked, we would not have the epidemic of weight problems that we have right now.
That's true.
So let's try to like, let's just see if that alone helps that habit. And then what
Okay.
I would do, when is your lunch? When's your regular lunch?
I tend to eat between 12:30 and 1.
Okay. And when do you typically, when will you eat your big well-fed woman breakfast now?
I have an hour commute, so sometimes I'll eat part of it as I'm driving,
I just eat
and
it all in there. If you got a whole hour, I eat that whole meal on the way.
okay, yeah. So yeah, and then usually I'll finish it up once I get to work because it's an
Okay.
hour there and an hour home. So
Yeah, I would either like what time do you get to, like when time do you get to work?
between 8 and 8:30, just depending on what time I leave.
Yeah, I would bet you if you just eat a mutt, like basically what I'm trying to get you to do is eat a bigger, better breakfast that's sustainable rather than kind of mainlining a little bit of food just enough to where your body's like, oh, we feel good. Oh, woo, oh, we got real close to feeling good. Oh, we kind of feel good. Oh, we don't feel good. You're just kind of like not allowing it to be like, wow. Okay, now I can like come down and it's like, oh, it's time for lunch. Wow. Okay, I can last a little while. Like, I want you to have wow moments, not just like, I'm getting a whiff of feeling good. No, not really. I didn't give you enough to feel good. Because then when you start like putting a little popcorn in, a few Triscuits, like you sound like you're trying to eat diety food and it's just backfiring the shit out of you.
Yeah, it could be. Like I said, we do plan our snacks, so we make sure that what I do have is a serving size and not more than. But sometimes I can finish my snacks before I even eat my lunch.
Yeah, and you there's like I just want you to think about this. There's a problem when you're eating, you're having a shake, you're having a hard-boiled egg, then you got to have popcorn, then you got to have Triscuits, and then you got to have something else, and then you have to eat lunch.
Right.
Your body is saying, I'm not getting what I need. So
Okay.
I'll keep asking you for food in hopes that you will give me what I need, and you're just kind of like, not really. Let me just give you this. Let me give you this little amount for, like what a, not even what a pigeon would eat. Like what are them like a sparrow? Like I don't even what's a tiny ass bird? Like something along those lines. Like we want to
Right.
eat a vulture. We don't want to be eating like, a parakeet. Let's try that.
Okay.
And then let's go back to this lack of motivation to do things. I think the first thing you need to remind yourself is I'm not going to be motivated to get back on track. I'm going to have to be willing. And I need to list out the things I'm willing to do. And if anything feels overwhelming or like I couldn't make myself do it, it can't be on the list to start. I have to start with what I know that in the moment when I don't want to, I can say, sorry, we're going to do it anyway. It's just like going to work. How many days a week do you not want to go to work?
Probably about five.
Yes, exactly. All right. I was hoping you were going to say, like, never, I love my job. But
I do enjoy my job, but yeah, it is.
let me say this, though. It sounds like every morning you're not motivated at all to go.
No.
And what do?
I go.
You drive your happy ass there.
Yes.
Because you're willing, the same thing's going to happen here.
Okay.
Now you go to your work because you don't want to lose your job.
Right.
You probably are dependent upon that paycheck. It's probably
Yes.
nice to have. It
Yes.
allows you to have nice things. We have to remind ourselves, like, when I start doing some of these things, it allows me to have nice things. And until I get back into the groove, not going to want to, just like I don't want to go to my job.
Okay.
But I don't need to be motivated to do that. Motivation is nice, but motivation, like 90% of the time, only comes after you start seeing results. When you start doing things and that scale starts going down, the next thing I know, you'll be on this call like, oh my God, we coached Corinne, like everything changed. And like, I'm just so happy to be doing my basics now. Now I have something else I'd like to coach on. It's like, yeah, now you're motivated because you're seeing the positive benefits of doing the things you want to do. We don't see that in the beginning. You can tell yourself there will be positive benefits. You can do all that. But so often, y'all get stuck in the loop of needing to feel like you, the biggest thought error that we all have is, I'm not motivated. I'm like, exactly. But are you willing? Like, are you willing to do things? And you just
Yeah.
need to make an honest list with yourself of like, as of right now, I'm willing to do these things. And in the moment when I don't want to do it, I'm just going to remind myself wanting to do it and motivation are not required.
Okay.
They're just not. And when we tell ourselves that actively, then we quit using the excuse, I'm not motivated. And I think that's where you're at right now. It's really
Okay.
hard to want to do things when you think
No.
motivation has to come first.
Yeah, it is.
It feels like something's wrong. And
Yeah,
I'm like,
there's
nothing's wrong.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And the willing instead of motivated sounds much different. Yeah.
And when you ask yourself, what am I willing to do? You will make a list. And there will be some, like you'll write down something, you're like, ugh. Like suddenly you'll list, like We don't want to make a list of what we should be doing.
Okay.
We're making a list of what we're willing to start doing now. So I'm very willing to change my breakfast to see what happens. I'm willing to not bring snacks to work so that I don't have the option to, I'm going to actually try this breakfast for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then, because if it was me, and I, because I really feel like the problem is you're under eating. Like you're basically eating the amount of calories that you need, but you're spreading it out so that your body's not getting any benefit. And then you're beating yourself up. And then there's probably other things down the road that are happening with your eating simply because you feel like you're screwing up.
Yeah.
And so what we want to do, I'm sorry, my eyes are
Yeah.
so itchy. I've been having this eye treatment and they are really large today. I want you to say, like, I'm not even going to bring snacks to work.
Okay.
At least for just try it for a few days. You don't need to commit to that for a whole 2 weeks, but are you willing for like at least 2 or 3 days this week? I'm not going to pack snacks. I want to see if a bigger breakfast makes a difference. And then if I'm really wanting to snack and I don't have food to grab, that's my trigger to ask, then is this actually emotional? What is it during this time that I want the distraction from? Because you said I want a distraction. When I asked you, you're like, you didn't know. Well, the best way to figure out if you actually want a distraction is to have no food available so that you can say, like, well, since I don't have food, I have to think about what would I like the food to be doing for me right now? What would
Right.
it be doing for me? And then we can go to coaches and work on that piece. That will
Okay.
be the emotional piece. But I definitely want you to eat a bigger breakfast. I think
All right.
everybody should eat a bigger breakfast if they can.
Yeah, I will definitely start there. So.
Okay. All right. So just keep your shake, two
Okay.
eggs instead of one. And if you like those bagels, grab a bagel
Okay.
or, you know, 2 pieces of toast or, you know, just whatever, just something really simple like that.
Okay. I will get that started.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
Bye
Bye-bye.
bye.
iPhone 2W. Hey there. Oh, wait, we got to get you unmuted. Hang on. Try now. There we
How's
go.
that?
All right, now I can hear you.
Perfection. I'm going to just shut my door so that I can have quiet.
Okay.
I never thought I would get to be pulled up. Hi, this is
Oh,
Joe Ellen. How are you? I go
Joe
by
Ellen.
Joe.
Okay, that's my
And
brother's nickname.
I've been with you since September of 2020. So
COVID.
today is kind of a. I was telling myself, oh, should I keep paying for my membership? And I made a decision to not until I call and talk about what I want to do.
Okay. Well, what do you want to
I didn't want to just slide out. You know,
do? Okay.
you know what I mean? Like I can easily go in, hit, I'm going, bye bye. But I said, nope, you owe it to yourself. So here I go.
Okay.
I've lost 113 pounds.
Okay.
I received my Wonderland wonderful present. Most of the weight, I think I was up to like 102 loss, was in the first year and a half. Am I talking too loud?
No, you're good.
Okay, perfect. And then I don't want to say I just maintained that because I have never maintained for more than a year at a time. So I really, really felt in control of that one thing, which was my weight loss, my planning, my for me, the only other time I've ever called in, the biggest epiphany for me was the day I asked myself the question, am I hungry? I joined at 65 years old.
I never knew that that was a question.
I know. It's amazing. Women are just not taught to ask, are we hungry? We're taught to just always be living like that last lady on, like, sir, may I have a
Right, and I came from a family with eight kids.
Yeah.
You, when mama put the food on the table, you ate, and that was
That's
that.
right.
And what was there, you know, we were not, we didn't have any money. We ate what was served to us, and I got a job at 11 years old babysitting because I wanted to have Pepsis and I wanted to have candy and, you know,
Yeah.
anyway. So my sister passed, died very suddenly in 18 days, 4 years ago. And I stayed on track from the day she died until September. And then I found a new obsession slash addiction. I didn't realize it at the time, but I literally, in the last 3 years, have bought a brand new SUV worth of bags, tote bags, pocketbooks, luggage. Unbelievable. I mean, to the point where I'm embarrassed and I shut my dressing room door so no one can see in there. I have so many bags. But I real and when I was thinking about stopping, no B, not stopping no BS because that's my life, but stopping my membership, I
Yeah.
told myself it was because of money. I said, now really, you're paying all this money, you're not watching classes, you're not, I really, really, really have, I have the tools and I'm doing so many of the tools still. They're a part of my life now. But I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not watching classes.
Okay.
And I said, really, Dolan, $59, you spend $400 to $500 a month on bags.
Okay.
And
So
you
we know it's
don't
not
leave the
fun.
house. I don't leave the house. Where the heck? My husband jokes with me, you're going to have to change a bag if you go from one room to the other. You used to change it when you went out of the house, you get a new bag. You're really going to, you know. It's nuts, and I know it, but for now,
Not nuts, but
it's
it's
beauty.
I want you to think about this. It's probably emotional. Like when it's
It
Yeah. So rather than calling it nuts or weird or anything like that, if we label it accurately, then
True.
we know what we need to work on. If you're
Okay.
just crazy, you need to go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, no, I'm not crazy. I need the
Exactly.
beauty in my life. It gave me beauty in my life. I've been in
Okay.
a non-physical relationship for 42 years with my husband. Well, 38 of 42 years with my husband. So I don't have any tactile stimulation really, other than, you know, I mean, if we want to kiss our hands or whatever.
Yeah.
But and we kiss goodnight. And you know, but I don't have the tactile stimulation that I really probably need because women, we all need that. Even my dogs need that. Losing my sister blew me out of the water. And it took me even 6 months to know that because I still have five siblings that I had to take care of. I raised one of my sisters that died 42 years ago. I raised her child and she took this very hard. And I had to take care of all of them. So it took me about 6 months to say, wow, that's my only older sibling. So I have no parents. I lost my only older sibling and four cousins. I'm now the oldest out of a family of about 106 people. So I'm fearful, frightened. Part of me thinks it's control because I won't know what happens to my people that I take care of.
I feel that. That's my biggest worry with Logan.
Isn't it
I
scary?
worry constantly that we will die before him and
Yep.
that no one will take care of him.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just my sister's child who is my heart. I delivered her. I was her godmother. Then I was her guardian when because she was only a year old when my younger sister died. I don't know what she'll do when I'm gone. I'm
So
frightened for her.
what do you think you need help with? Because we know
Okay.
that staying in no BS, it's literally just a decision. You've got the tools down on lock.
Yep.
It doesn't sound like you need us for the weight loss piece.
I don't feel like it, but the piece that I didn't put in is a year ago, because I was stuck so long at 102 pounds lost, which is a pretty nice place to be stuck, okay? But still, my goal originally was to get to 175.
Okay.
I was 298 when I joined. I got to 196. I mean, I'm wearing a size 12 pants. If I had to live at this weight, I would. But I kind of sort of just wanted that last 23 pounds. I started taking Mounjaro. Now, okay. I'm down.
Are you in our GLP-1?
I'm not. Group? I'm not.
You should probably get in there. We have a whole dedicated coach to it. And we have a call. Today is actually the GLP-1 call.
Oh.
Where Coach Christy will be right after me in 30 minutes.
Okay.
She's up next. But she's a she's a pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
And knows her stuff. So if you have questions about it, but you can also get support, you can talk to people.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, I always love it when y'all come on and you'll like say, and I'm on like Mounjaro. Like y'all always slide it in there. Like it's like, I don't know, like you said, you know, and by the way, right before I came in here, I kicked three puppies on my way in.
Yeah. And you do.
Worst things in the world that y'all can be doing other than getting some help.
Right.
With your weight loss.
And
you know,
that's what I'm looking at it. That's how I'm looking at it, because my A1C, even having lost the weight, again, even isn't a word I love to use anymore. You don't know how much I talk to myself since I met you. I am telling myself, if I stub my toe and say, oh, you're so dumb. You're not dumb, dear. You just stubbed your toe. But anyway, moving right along. Yeah, it's funny. You almost feel like, or I almost feel like I have to be a little embarrassed about it. But I really thought it through. And I was like, all right, you're going to take X number of dollars from your pocketbook fund and you're going to do, give it a try. And I really, I'm only 12 pounds away from where I want to be. So there I'm feeling really cool about that. I just want to see.
So is the decision, like, do you want to just do it on your own? Are you wanting to stay, but like looking for a reason to stay? Where are you at in that?
Well, I'm a really responsible person. So at first I was like, all right, do I need to stay? I think I've got the tools that I could do it on my own.
I agree.
And then I throw in, but you're really not doing it on your own because of the Mounjaro. No,
You're still doing it on your own. You're the one paying for it. You're the one taking the shot. You're the one like, and they're not like they're not always magic. I mean, they're still, even like when you're on it, you still got to work on what's going on the inside.
Absolutely.
Or it'll just come back, or you'll like have fear. Like there's all kinds of shit to work on.
Yep. Absolutely. But I think, all right, number one, the community, which I've never really taken part in totally, because I get embarrassed and I feel people in my life tell me I talk too much and I talk too fast and I talk too loud. So I don't often get involved in the community. But something that has happened to me over the last four years of my sister passing, and it's gotten gradually worse, and it's why I think I'm reaching out for help, is I'm not leaving the house. Now, I have an end-of-life dog and an end-of-life hubby. My husband's 83 and not well. And my dog is in his probably last couple of weeks, and he's my last dog. I've had three for years and years and years, and my baby is passing. But I'm not leaving the house. And I, one, tell myself, well, you're afraid to leave Steve. No. And then, so that's one. And then it's, oh, Heather tells me that I really am not steady on my feet. And maybe I'm going to fall down, which I have. I broke my neck in 12 years ago. And so that fear kind of was growing. But a year before that, I was going on cruises six times a year because I managed three reggae bands. I was a travel agent at Big Beautiful Women Travel for 20 years. I owned that business for 20 years, BBW Travel. So my bands, I had three reggae bands, two from Jamaica and one from Trinidad. And they used to pay me in friends and family cruises. And I was taking groups of 50 women to Jamaica once, three times a year. I am a dancer at heart. People used to ask me, oh, are you the official dancer for the band? You know, I mean, this was who I was. And
so why are you not going places?
Well, one is I can't really leave my husband for a week at a time.
Okay, that's valid.
Yep. Why am I not going anywhere except for to get my nails done every 3 weeks? That's the bigger.
But that, if that's the reason, what we don't want to do is confuse. Like at first when you presented, I'm not leaving the house, it was almost like I'm not leaving the house for some emotional reason. Like
yeah.
I need coaching on to overcome like either a fear or just apathy, like whatever, you know, depression.
Yep.
Like if you got an end of life dog and a husband,
do
then it's very logical why you're not going places.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to spend time
okay, I see
beating ourselves
saying.
up or worrying that it's a problem I'm not going
Okay,
places.
so because that's a truth,
yes,
that's a fact.
this is a circumstance. You
Okay.
need to be at home. It's like if Chris was an end of life and so was my cat at the same time, this bitch would go nowhere either.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
I'm
Well,
not
that
kidding.
helps me because I think I feel like I'm failing a bit because I'm not doing stuff that 69-year-old women should be doing, but at the
But
same
I
time.
bet you are doing what a 69 year old woman who has their partner and their dog in end of life is very similar to you. Now,
Okay.
if I'm a swinging single 69 year old and nobody in the world fucking depends on me and whatnot, no, you are not like, it's just like when that other, I don't know, were you on the call earlier?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Okay. It's like the woman who was like, you know, in my early 30s, I was a bodybuilder. Well, now that I have kids and all this other responsibility, and I can't just be sitting and letting a man lead me through the nose through the gym, it's
And
like,
that made
not the
sense to
same
me.
woman. But you
That
can't
made
come.
big sense to me when you guys were talking about that. I was like, of
Yes.
course you're not the same person.
Different life situation.
Had to
Whereas
give
I think.
myself that grace sometimes. I guess I assume I'm doing something wrong, and then I have to talk myself into or out of. But
Yeah.
really, is that true? I do a lot of, is it true? Is it
Is it true?
now I breathe three line. I can't think of them right now because I'm nervous. But
That's okay.
you know, is it a fact? Is it kind? Is it, you know, worthwhile or whatever the third one is? And I do a lot of that, and I can come around to it. But I guess sometimes my deep, you know, the head and heart thing. My heart thing is like, oh, you're not going to the gym. Oh, you're not doing this. The other thing, number one, my intellect says you never went to the gym. You weren't you don't like the gym, you know.
Yeah, so
Since you
you
broke
shouldn't,
your
if you
neck,
don't
the
like the
gym is
gym, you
hard.
shouldn't be in the gym
Right.
unless you want to become someone who likes the gym, which means
Right.
you'll be like the last person. You're never going to be motivated. It's going to feel
Yep.
like acid first, you know.
Yep. But I feel
But
like I got to get out of the house because I got to use all these bags. So then that makes me bad.
I tell you what, not, please don't take this wrong,
I
but you can
won't.
use those. There is a day coming when your life's going to be different. And you can use the bags then. For
Yeah.
now, we don't need to stress. Like the nice thing about handbags is they don't age out. They're going to
Nope.
sit there and they're going to wait for you. And if they're good handbags, very often they just get finer the older they get. They become couture at some
Right.
point.
And I have them all on display, and I have all the colors, and it's my whatever joy. Sometimes I'll say to Steve, I'm going in my room to play with my pocketbooks.
That's fine. I mean, it's like, it's no different than like when we were kids, like I had Barbies and, you know, Cabbage Patch Kids and stuff. I'd go to my room to play with them when I wanted to feel good.
Right.
And, you know, just because we're older, it doesn't mean that we don't do things for ourselves, especially in your situation where you are going to be at home a lot and stuff. The only thing about buying bags and stuff, it only is a problem in one of two situations. You can't afford it and you're going into debt and it's costing
No.
your, like, it's causing harm to the
Only cash or
family.
debit cards. That's it all. That's
There.
all I use.
And then the only other time it can be harmful is if shopping has replaced eating. So every now and then, some people will be buying things to, like, to feel better when they feel bad instead of let me work on why I feel so bad. Like, let me work on that. So if you feel like some of your shopping is like the only source of joy you have and stuff, then we know we have kind of a red flag where it's like, I don't care that you go play with them, but we may not want to buy more of them. And we want to make sure that you have a way to get through this period of your life where it's not joyless. That is the only way to get joy is to buy something.
And
Because we
that's
can.
where I think, and that's what maybe if you have 5 more minutes, maybe that's what a big thing is. Because what I'm finding with the Manjaro is I could go without eating ever again, I feel like. I mean, I'm eating, when you were talking about breakfast, I was like, oh man. Because I literally eat a Built Bar for breakfast with 2 cups of coffee. I sometimes don't eat lunch until 4 o'clock.
We need you to get to eating.
Yeah, I'm
So it
probably
is,
eating about 800 calories a day.
yeah, that's I'll talk to you about it, but that is one reason why if you're on Facebook at all, you should probably be in the medical weight loss group.
I'm gonna join as soon as.
Yeah, there's so much good information in there. I think it'll really help you
Great.
navigate this. But one thing that I know that like all of the shots can do is, well,
Excuse
it
me
can
for one
turn.
second.
Yeah.
Heather, is my car on? Oh, my.
Dad's in the sandbag.
All right, will you help me?
It'll turn off.
It'll turn off in 2. My daughter. This is my beauty. Say hi to Corinne.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi. What do you mean?
I'm sorry. It's
Oh,
not.
it's
I
talking
can't
to
hear
Dad.
her. It's talking to Dad in the car.
He's probably like, what the? You should turn off as soon as he gets
I
up.
am so sorry. I hope you can
You're
hold on
okay.
for a
There you
second.
go.
Okay, she said I'm back.
Yeah.
Nope, I don't see her at all. Oh, allow.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. You can't see me any. Hi.
Yeah,
No,
no, yeah.
look.
So what
Hey.
I was saying is those shots, they can sometimes you might be on too high of a dose and you kind of need to come down because you're not supposed to lose your appetite. Their job, you're supposed to still feel hunger on them. And if you're feeling no hunger, then what you're going to want to do is you might want to talk to your doctor or wherever you got it, and you might want to maybe drop the dose a little bit. But the other thing is if you can't do that, you want to start doing timed eating. You're going to want to say like, I eat breakfast even though I don't want to, because your body needs you to eat. If you eat too little, you're going to lose bone and muscle mass. You're going to lose
And
the things
that's what
you're
I'm
going to regret
struggling
in 10
with
years.
now is the fact that I, first of all, I've been overweight since I was 10 years old. So I'm almost 60 years into being overweight, and I was almost 300 pounds. And so I have all that loose skin that you get just from losing weight. And then, of course, I'm much older now. The last time I weighed this was 1985. You know, it was the year I got married, and I was 28 years old, and I had this little tiny body that I didn't even know what to do with. But now this time I'm like, and this shocks me, 5 years into no BS. And the other day I was naked in front of my mirror, God help us. And I was like, oh my God, look at the wrinkles. Look at this. You always had great legs. Now you got wrinkles. And that took me about a 10-minute marathon of talking to myself to get through. But I also haven't replaced my knees that they wanted to replace. And I haven't replaced my hip that they wanted because I'm not carrying all that weight now. So this is a beautiful thing. And it's a, for me, fabulous. But I am not liking this loose skin stuff. And I think that might be because I'm not eating enough and I'm not
Well, there's
eating
that, and
protein.
that weight loss in and of itself will, like, I mean, at some point we're all gonna have the loose. I mean, the older I get, the more loose skin I get. I'm just like, oh, but you definitely need to be eating your protein, and you definitely need to be eating like get to 3 meals a day, and like even if you have to plan them. And you're going to eat them and you're not going to be hungry because your body needs that and it needs the protein. I would get into that group. There is so much good information in there. Christy is in there regularly. The members talk about like what works, what doesn't, like what to watch out for. They give themselves like, you were talking about You don't like people tell you you talk too much or whatever. The nice thing about posting in Facebook, it doesn't feel like anybody's talking too much ever. It's not the same as being like in a conversation or whatever, because you make a post, you just say everything you want to say, and then people just read it or they don't. It's so different. I just don't want you to feel afraid that it's so easy for us to think that we're going to be judged or we're going to be this, or we're going to be that. You know, maybe
Yeah,
in the
the
real
thought just came
world.
into my head. I don't think I do it because I don't want to get spanked. I get spanked enough in the
Well, the nice thing, there's no spanking in No BS.
world.
There's always
That's just
that.
one of my words.
Yeah, but there's it's really hard to break a rule in No BS.
True.
I mean, the only way that you can, if you're mean to someone, like you have to be mean to someone. Like we even allow ourselves to have like really good back and forth conversations on, you know, like I do this or I do that. Like we can have like different approaches and stuff, but we're talking about things where people aren't really like, you know, like I don't, we don't do the religion, we don't do the politics. Like
Good.
I cut both of those things out of the group back in 2008. Because I knew even back then, there will always be people with different opinions, and we're trying to lose weight. And that is the last thing. Like, we just don't need to talk about that to lose weight. To lose weight, we need to talk about like our actual lives. We need to talk about like our emotional eating. We got plenty to talk about. So, like, unless you're doing that, you ain't getting spanked.
No, I'm a very kind person.
Yeah, you can even cuss if you want to.
I love to cuss. And
There you
you know,
go.
when I met you, my doctor said they had a new person at my doctor's facility that was dealing with weight. So I met her one time and she said, Joe, at the end of it, she said, Joe, I just listened to this woman and she said, I think you would love her. She is right up your alley. So the first time I listened, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm insulted or not. You know, because it was comical. I mean, I had never heard anybody that wasn't like in my life, in real life, you know, out there
Yeah.
saying all these words. And I was asking my daughter, what is this, what does this acronym mean? Oh, what does that mean? You know,
Yeah.
ham, go ham on me.
Go
I'm like, what
ham.
does this mean? And at the end of the video, I said, yeah, I'm joining. And
There
I
you
did a
go.
5-day thing in September of 2020, and I think you're great. I think you're real. I love that you swear, because I feel like, oh, if I drop an F-bomb by mistake, you know, like I'm being my make-believe self that doesn't swear, I'm not gonna get, you know, I'm not gonna shock anybody. But
Right.
all right, I know you must need to go, and I can't. First of all, can I say this? I feel a little bit proud of myself that
You
I
should be.
called today. I hope I didn't say anything too
No,
goofy.
you did fine. You did great, actually. I
Thank
just
you.
want you to before, like, you know, I definitely agree that you don't need the program in terms of like knowing what to do to lose weight. The two places I think you could still use it if you want to stay, because I don't make anybody stay,
I
is
really do.
I think you would get some benefit out of the medical weight loss group,
Okay.
at least while you're doing the Mongiorno, so that you don't get off into losing the wrong kind of weight and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then the coaches, like it feels like you're dealing with a lot. And if you go to Ask Coaches in the membership site where you can tell them what's going on anytime you're having anything that you need to work through, like grief. Like we coach on all of those things.
Yep.
I want to use that because it's not as public. You're really having that one-on-one conversation with the coach. It's back and forth. You know, everybody can see it, but nobody knows who you are. It's all anonymous.
Yeah, and I did private coaching with Julie, and
Okay.
I absolutely adored her. And I was heartbroken when she left.
We all were.
Yeah, I just really connected with her. I now have a med doctor that loves me. And when I have to do my med calls, once a month, she does counseling with me for an hour just because
Good.
she, her and I made a great connect. And, but I need, first of all, I want to stay. Second of all, I know I can afford to stay. I guess I just needed some affirmation about, okay, you're 5 years in, you're keeping your weight off, you're not doing it perfectly, meaning not getting enough food. I know I'm not getting enough food.
Yeah.
And is there still something out there for me? And am I still a part of this?
Yeah, I think you are. And I think that we can, we'll at the very least, we can help you get through this food part. And then you can just, you can redecide then again, like, all right, how do I feel now about staying, going or whatever? And anytime, yeah, if you want to come on a call and talk about it. I'm here almost every Sunday.
I know you are. I see it. I read my newsletter every week. And you've been, honestly, I know you know this. I know people tell you all the time, but I don't ever believe in not giving big up to people that deserve it. And you've changed my life. Oh, and I think you're a beautiful human.
Well, thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
That. All right. You have a good day, okay?
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see. We've got 9 minutes. See if I can get through a few questions. Should we all be eating 3 meals a day? You don't have to eat 3 meals a day. I just am always suspect when somebody, like, I know there's going to be times when you first start the program where when you first start listening to Hunger and Enough, you don't need to eat 3 meals a day because you've spent, you know, 10 years or so eating way more than 3 meals a day, or your meals have been out of whack. And so there's a period where your body is kind of like, you realize it's not been asking for food. Your emotions have been, but your body's not been asking for food. And when you start really listening to it, there's like a period where it's called dining in, where your body's kind of feasting on the fat. But we don't want to do that for a long time. The goal is never to eat as little as you can to lose weight. It's always to eat as much as you can to lose weight by learning how to tune into all of your body's signals. And sometimes y'all get really hung up on, well, like, for example, this will be in the Healthify course for next month. I don't wake up hungry, but I notice, you know, at night, I can't stop eating. And I notice I don't have a lot of energy through the day, and I'm just pushing through. Your body is sending a lot of signals that it needs you to eat breakfast. If your nighttime eating is out of control, even you've been working on your emotional eating, but you feel ravenous, you feel like you can't not eat, you feel like your brain just turns off on a dime, that could be a signal that not having a good, well-rounded breakfast first thing in the morning isn't kickstarting your body to feel safety and security that you're not going to starve it. So it's not that you have to eat 3 meals a day, but I'm always suspect when people don't, like, it's very rare that you're going to see someone who is at their goal weight or easily keep their weight off or are naturally thin or whatever, where they're just like, I barely ever eat. Dieters say that. Chronic dieters barely ever eat, and then they have periods where they eat all the things. But when you look at people who, like even me, I mean, I've had my weight off forever. I could count on one hand in the last year when I've only ate twice a day. The only time I ever eat twice a day is when I literally run out of time to eat. It is the rare, like when we're at camp and I'm on stage and I can't eat before we start. Otherwise, I'm either going to be pooping, farting, or burping on stage. Not a good look when all of you are coming to camp. So I don't eat breakfast usually before then because I'm a mess gastrointestinally. Now, rest of my life, my goal is to eat 3 times a day, sometimes 4, if I need the extra fuel. The real question is, are we really listening to our body? Are we listening to not only in the moment, but are you also watching your energy patterns? And we're going to talk so much about that next month in Healthify. So I think a lot of this will become a little bit more clear. Where would you say is a good starting point for weights? So if you don't lift weights full body first, so like I'd get to where I'm lifting weights once a week, full body, I would do that for a month just to get used to it, get used to lifting weights. Month 2, add a second day. Month 3, add the third day. Once you've had 90 days of lifting weights where you've built up to 3 days, then you can start, like, you can start digging into the way it traditionally goes is 3, You want to work up to three full bodies. And then if you really like it and you want to get like stronger, like, you want more arms like me or whatever, you would go to upper lower split. So then now you're doing it 4 days a week, upper lower, day off, upper lower. I lift 4 days a week. I kind of do that routine now. Mine's a little different. Mine's a little bit more sophisticated, but I've been lifting for years. And once I get through with summer travel, I'll probably go back to 5 days. And when I do 5 days, I typically like to, I combo up a couple of muscle groups, and then I'll do like a double day where like whatever, like if I'm working on my ass, if I'm working on my shoulders, whatever, my back, whatever, I'll spend a month or two doubling down on a body part. The biggest mistake I watch women do though is when they start lifting weights is number one, they go too light. Like the first couple of weeks, you can start with like light weights. But most of you carry a heavier purse than you try to lift weights with. I have watched some of you walk in with purses that look like you have a dead body in them and they'll weigh like 40 pounds. And then you go to the gym and you're like, I don't want to lift more than 5 pounds for my bicep curls. I'm like, bitch, you just hauled a purse in with a dead body. So when we carry our groceries in, very often you're carrying groceries heavier than what you'll attempt at a gym. Now, I will say this when it comes to starting weights, I'm a big believer in if you can get a trainer, even if it's just for 3 to 6 sessions, to show you how to lift, it will be so much better for you. You will learn form. You will learn the things you need to learn. Nowadays, you can watch videos. So there are plenty of great videos out there on YouTube. Find a full body routine on YouTube for beginners that also will teach you form. Watch it and do it while, even if you have to watch the video while you lift the weights. Form is everything because if you don't have good form, not only does it risk injury, but very often when you have shitty form, you're not even going to get the muscular results that you want. So I always think form is important. Let's see, I can grab one more. How do I tune out all the noise? Insulin resistance, no carbs, you're fat because of this. I'm 225. I lose the first 2 weeks and then it stops. I'm so discouraged and not sure how do I lose this weight without loving my current state? I am in what I should do again, Lou. What should I do again, Lou? You should like do what I tell you to do. And when the noise comes in, it is your job to say that is the noise. Period. That is the process. Y'all act like the noise. Like, how do I tune out the noise? Very easy. If you are sitting there and someone is talking absolute nonsense and gibberish to you, would you be like, oh my God, Corinne, how do I tune out the noise of gibberish? You'd either get up and walk away, you'd put on some earbuds, you would tune it out because it would make no sense to you. Y'all act like just because you hear insulin resistance and things like that somehow, like the problem isn't the noise. The problem is in your brain, you're like, I wonder who's right. If you're in no BS, stop fucking wondering. Corinne's right. You are paying for this program. If you are following people online that are talking other shit other than what I'm saying, unfollow them. That's a great way to tune out the noise. If you're here, you owe it to yourself to do what I tell you. The problem is, it's like you say, like, I'm 225, I lose weight the first 2 weeks, and then it stops. Yeah, it's probably supposed to on the third week. Ding, 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 ding. That is just a normal fucking weight loss pattern. But in your mind, it's like, oh my God, it stopped. It must be like the 5,000 things I'm listening to on the internet. It's like, no. When you do the first 2 weeks, you're probably losing some weight. That third week, your body is resetting. That's your normal routine. You're probably going to lose weight for 2 more weeks and then it's going to reset. And it like that is the pattern. I used to lose weight for 3 weeks, jack shit for 4. Sometimes weeks 4, 5, and 6, I wouldn't lose, and then it would just kick back up. The problem isn't that the weight loss stops. The problem is y'all give too much credence to it stopping and acting like it's a problem. So then you eat your face off, and then you wonder if it's insulin resistance. That's called eating because the scale stopped. If you angry eat, frustration eat, pissy eat, if you eat because you feel like it's unfair, if you hopeless eat, That is not insulin resistance. That's emotional eating every single time. And that's why you're here and not out there in the cold world where they're giving you shit advice. So, what I would do is I would do the program. And then when you get to week three, where you don't lose weight, I would go exactly to ask coaches and tell them, here's what I'm afraid of. I feel bad because I'm not losing weight. Coach my ass so I can keep going. That's part of the program. Y'all aren't here to do it perfect. Y'all are here to work through all the horse shit you carry around. And I guarantee you, if your pattern is to lose for 2 weeks on my program and then not lose for a week, guess what? You do the keto. You do whatever somebody's pumping out there saying is the latest fad. What's going to happen after 2 weeks? Same fucking pattern. Because that's your body's physical chain of events. That is not a problem until you make it a problem. All right. I have to get off because I think Christy's here to do the call. So I got to end this one. So if you are here for the GLP-1 call or the medical weight loss call, just come back in about 1 minute and Christy will fire up the call and we will start all over. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.